This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
World Water Day on BFM 89.9. Brought to you by Indah Water Consortium, New Life for Water.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and in line with World Water Day, which was yesterday, the 22nd of March, today we're speaking to the founder of Saura Industries, a social enterprise dedicated to getting clean and safe drinking water for rural and marginalized communities. Ganesh Muren is here on the phone with me.
Hi, I'm Ganesh Muren here, founder and CEO of Saura Industries, a for-profit social enterprise that looks into uplifting lives of marginalized and underprivileged communities. What we do at Saura Industries is basically bring affordable, clean drinking water and also renewable energy to rural and marginalized communities. So that's what Saura does in one line.
Right. Well, you've actually been on BFM before. The last time you spoke to us was in 2017, and now it's 2020. So what are a few things that Saura has achieved in the past couple of years?
We have achieved, I would say, considerably well for a startup that is not funded or externally. For example, we haven't accepted any investors so far into our social enterprise. So we have achieved organically. So from 2017 to 2020, I would say early 2020 now, we have expanded to two other countries, which is Cambodia and Indonesia. We have worked with multiple companies to provide clean drinking water. And this is, some of them are basically non-humanitarian projects. We have expanded into the commercial line, which profit from the commercial angle has funded the humanitarian aspect. So that's where we are now. We are bringing running water and electricity close to about 60 villages so far. We have close to about 15 commercial project sites. So that's where we are at the moment.
You know, we'll talk a little bit more about, investment and things like that in a moment. But just to give people some more context. So essentially, the initial product that you guys created was a solar-powered water filter, which the initial prototype of that was created in 2013. Has the design or utility of this product changed over time? And if so, how?
Yeah, so the product from 2013, I would say, was very rudimentary. The product now has evolved to multiple lines of product. So initially, you have the solar-powered water purification system that does 15 liters an hour. But at the moment, we have systems that do from 2 liters an hour close to about 1,500 liters an hour. So we have expanded close to about 18 lines of products serving different applications. Previously we only had the system was only doing fresh water, but at the moment in Saura we service 5 types of water: fresh water, brackish water, sea water, air to water, and also sewage water. So total in line, we have close to about 40 products, which we have clients from different sectors buying it off us as well. So that's where the product achievement has also grown significantly for the past few years.
Right. And, in addition to the 40 products that you mentioned earlier, Saura also owns close to 6 patents, which have been commercialized through 56 projects. Now, could you tell us a bit more about how these systems work?
So the patents is on the water system. So how does the system get? So for example, let me just give you a quick scenario, right? So there's a village of, let's say, 20 homes. If you can imagine a village of 20 homes up in the hills, takes you about 2-3 hours off-road ride to arrive at the village. And when you arrive at the village, you see people in the village, water that they consume or water that they get is from the hills. So you see a small stream coming by, and then first day you do an observation practice whereby you go and see how do they collect the water. So you will see early in the morning women collect water in jars and bottles, plastic bottles, and also in the evening you see In the afternoon, usually they go there to wash their clothes. In the evening, you see children bathing there, and you know, the village folks bathing there. So that's the entire day-to-day cycle that you get to see in a village like this. So what happens is, on the second day, what we do is we look into how what is the water quality like for us to purify. So certain villages that we go to, the water quality is really bad. You know, I mean, sometimes it's not about the dissolved impurities, but it's much more the physical impurities. So you might have logging activities upstream whereby the water becomes very murky. So those are the villages sometimes that we it's quite a challenge to treat. But for a village which is fairly, you know, you don't have logging activities, but you only have biological impurities. For example, you have bacteria and viruses, and also you have basic, just very murkiness is very minimum. So then what we do is we put in our system, which is solar powered. So what the system, how does the system works is there is a pump in the system that that pulls in water from the stream, and, which is powered by solar, and that's a battery system that also helps it for it to function at night. So then the pump pushes through the water through several mediums of filtration and purification. So the filtration is whereby you have the physical gunks and physical impurities being filtered away. Purification, the term means whereby you purify the water through a certain method to eliminate the bacteria and viruses. So when it passes through these processes, the water that we have a faucet, which is also automatic. So what we try to do with the entire system is make sure it is foolproof. Because sometimes when you build a system which is too complicated to be implemented in a village, it doesn't really work. And then it becomes a white elephant project because basic maintenance is not being done. So while installing the entire system, we teach the villagers on how to maintain and how to operate the system, basic maintenance 101. So that's how we place the system. And then what we do is every 3 months we come in to do interval checks to make sure the system is running. So we have done close to about 60 villages now, and about three holy surahs in Sarawak. So those are the project sites that we have in our system. The system vary from small. So if the villages have only 5 people, then we install a smaller system. If the village that we have serviced in the past has close to about 200 homes, so that's a system also we do. So significantly, we have seen after throughout the installation, we see them falling less sick. We have seen because of dirty water, children losing hair, and they have skin diseases. So we have seen in slowly curing in time. It's not an immediate process. Slowly curing in time. At the same time, what we also do is we install solar lighting systems in homes, in the homes of villagers. We give them a small mini system that rather than using kerosene lamps, we use these solar systems whereby they are able to light up at least 2 to 3 light bulbs, able to charge their mobile phone. So those are the basic things that we give. Because sometimes, when you give, you give something, some people actually want to see immediate effect. Like, no, I want to switch on the switch, and then, I get to see, I'm healthy immediately. But that doesn't happen. This drinking clean water, drinking dirty water in the past has been like for about, let's say, 15, 20 years. But, just giving them clean drinking water for a day is not going to change anything. So it's a process. So what we do, meantime, to get them excited, we give them a solar system at homes to make sure that, they are still excited about the whole program. They have immediate result, which is lights immediately. Then onwards, they see, after a month, they see the
the results of drinking clean drinking water. So that is how an entire project works, I would say, very briefly.
After a few messages, I'll continue speaking to Ganesh Murun about what he's learned from his years of entrepreneurship and also some of his future projects. So do stay tuned to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Breathe freely, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm Christine Wong and you're listening to Open for Business. On today's show, in line with World Water Day, I'm speaking on the phone to Ganesh Murun, founder of the social enterprise Sara Industries, which provides clean water and solar-powered electricity to rural and or otherwise marginalized communities. Before the break, we discussed the whole process of how Sara actually does all of that and also how many people that they're helping at the moment. As you mentioned before the break, you operate in Malaysia, but you've also expanded to Cambodia and Indonesia as well. Are there any parts of Malaysia that you have yet to reach, and what other countries are you planning to expand to in the future?
We haven't done a project in the very north states like Kelantan, Perlis, on that extreme, and we haven't done projects in Sabah yet. Where we are thinking of expanding in the coming years, I would say. So I think for the next 3 years, we are looking to just establish in Indonesia and Cambodia. But in the future, what we see would be interesting is to go into in the Indochina market, for example, Vietnam, Thailand, and a few other countries on that side.
All right. Well, let's look a little bit more locally as well. Just talk a bit more about the kind of support that you get. So at the moment, you are working with Yayasan Siti Sapura, Hong Leong Foundation, and Yayasan Kemajuan Insan Sarawak with your efforts. So how do you maintain these relationships with these organizations?
I think what is crucial in maintaining a relationship is two things. I think one is integrity in the relationship itself. So, for example, certain projects that we deliver, we tell them, okay, this is going to cost a bit more because of this. These are the shortcomings. You know, probably we have to host two or three water awareness classes for the village, so it might incur more cost. So, you know, some funders, I mean, most, I think all funders appreciate the honesty in the project that we do. Second is also integrity in the work that we have done. So it is not about, you know, going in, installing a system, taking a couple of pictures, and then everyone smiling for the picture and then leaving. So it's about doing a continuous check within the first 6 months and then progressively every year. So our project partners have really been happy with the work that we have done. At the moment, our project partners have grown. So we work now with CIMB Foundation and a few other clients as well.
You're also part of the National Higher Education Entrepreneurship Council, otherwise known as MKPTN. This is an organization that coordinates and regulates entrepreneurship development and education for institutions of higher learning. And you're also part of the incubation program organized by MAGIC as well. So kind of what lessons have you learned and do you want to share about entrepreneurship with our listeners?
The entrepreneurship roles that the government that I've gone through, actually, it has been really lucky for me to be selected, you know, to very humbled, actually, because if you see in the list, you have notable industry giants like Safrol, Guzafrol, Kamaluddin, and a few others. So you have giants like that, which I personally feel I'm learning much more than I'm giving. But the entrepreneurship advice or the takeaway that I would share is just put your heart to it and put your smart mind to it. Because sometimes entrepreneurship is also about knowing when to slow the gears and rethinking strategy. And also knowing when, okay, this is time, we got it right and time for us to go full speed. So I think that's, you got to be smart, you got to have the right heart and also the right mind. That gives you a check and balance. And also, I would say to have a really sound partner. So in throughout these 5 years, I have a partner of mine, name is Farzina. So she has been the check and balance for me. So in certain times that, you know, I would like to say, okay, we got to spend more on this project. We got to do this more. So she holds back the horses and says, hey, hold on, Ganesh. Let's rethink about it. So, you know, so having someone along, you know, is really crucial. And also the team to drive it is also, crucially important.
Right.
So these elements actually make up into a successful venture, which I believe, because you can be an entrepreneur with ideas and drive, but it only takes you that far. And, you know, with having a partner, it takes you, okay, let's say you can go double the distance. But with a team, I think, you know, anything is possible and within reach.
Right. You mentioned earlier on in the interview as well that at the moment, Sara is not funded externally, but you did win the 2016 Laureate Here for Good Award, and you were given a cash prize of $10,000, which is about 42,000 Malaysian ringgit. Would you mind sharing what those investments were about?
So that particular project, that particular prize money is actually meant for a project in Pahang. So it wasn't directly invested into the operations or the capital expenditure of Saura, but it was actually used for a project in Pahang. It's a village whereby you have close to about 36 families up in the hills. So we installed a water system. So that's and the remaining of the money is used for humanitarian aid in the village.
Right.
So that particular project money wasn't used at all. And I totally believe that any project money that prize money that comes to Saura will not be used for Saura because end of the day, the prize and the awards and the recognition that we get is from the work that we do with the rural and marginalized communities.
Right.
So it's not fair for us to also indulge on the prize money.
Right.
So we have a particular policy in the company whereby anything that we get out of this will be forwarded entirely to the communities.
So if I may ask, how are you currently funded? Like, where does your revenue come from and are you profitable yet?
So we actually do commercial projects at the moment. So we do water systems for some processing plants at the moment. We are doing, for different application parts. So we do commercial projects. That's where our operational cost is covered. So the rest of the profit goes into the funding and the humanitarian side. Mm-hmm. And also a certain percentage also goes back into R&D.
Right.
So we are we were profitable 6 months in 2013 after into entering the company. Because I think if you say, when did you break even, the only investment that I made was probably selling my iPad when I started off in 2013. So we broke even with that iPad immediately with our first client.
Right.
And also the people that I've got into the team, first 6 months into the building the company, nobody took in a salary. The whole team was really supportive. So, I'm really lucky in a way to have all of this transpired.
So at the moment, are you making a profit or has your business been affected, especially by the COVID-19 pandemic at the moment?
I would say last year, for the past 3 years, we were profitable. But then with this COVID, actually, it has been tough. I would say not only for us, but, it's shared across all industry players, which I've been speaking to some of them, it's a tough time for all of us.
Mm.
But I feel we have existing clients. So probably, hopefully this wave of, unfortunateness passes by quickly because I think we have, clients that are ready to do project, but everything is now pushed over to the later part of the year.
Yeah.
Which is going to be really taxing for us because, we have to deliver all of it probably in a span of 6 months, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm.
I think these are it's you know, it's a challenge that every business has to face. And I think if you got to build a business which is resilient to these challenges, you know, you have things being thrown at you, challenges being thrown at you left, right, center, and back. So it is up for the, you know, it's up for the business to pick up the pieces and keep on moving.
Right.
So I think that's crucial. So we are quite, in one side, we are quite happy because, you know, it's helping us build a resilient business. That's on the positive side, you know, but, you know, on the negative side, of course, it has slowed down things. Mm. But, you know, I think we can still work. It is also putting our organization to the test of working remotely. And also, you know, I'm at home and you can't really go out for meetings. And, you know, so it's also, you know, teaching me one or two new things that probably I could have done better also in the past.
Even in the midst of all of this, what are you aiming to achieve by the end of the year?
Yeah, for villages, we are aiming to at least power up and bring water close to about 10 villages. That's our aim. And for the other projects, I think we have to rediscuss. And I think because of the entire COVID-19, I think we got to, after this entire phase goes off, we got to sit down and rediscuss, okay, you know, what is achievable for the next 10 months or, you know, for the next you know, few months that we have left. So that's where we have to rediscuss. But I think in terms of villages, we are going to stick to having to power and give water to 10 villages. That is for sure.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ganesh, for speaking to me. That was Ganesh Murin, founder of Sara Industries, discussing them and their accomplishments in line with World Water Day here on Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and if you've missed any of this show, you can find it on our website, app, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
BFM celebrates World Water Day, brought to you by Inda Water Consortium, New Life for Water.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.